జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద జయ దేవచంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్తవృంద జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద జయ దేవచంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్తవృంద చలనాం రీనాం విహీనాం దీన చేతసాం నిశ్రేయసాయ భగవాన్ నామ్యసా కల్పతే క్వచిత్. This verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.4 translation. My dear Lord, sometimes great saintly persons go to the homes of householders. Although these householders are generally low-minded, when a saintly person visits their home, one can understand that it is for no other purpose than to benefit the householders. Amar Sange Brahmanadi Sahasrika Jana Tuva Darsane Savar Pravi Bhutta Mama Mono. Along with me there are about 1,000 men, including the Brahmanas, and all of them appear to have had their hearts melted simply by seeing you. Krishna Krishna Namasuni Sabarvadane Sabaranga Pulakita Asunayane. I hear everyone chanting, Krishna!
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 The holy name of Krishna. Everybody's body is thrilled with ecstasy, and there are tears in everyone's eyes. Akritye prakritye suvayisar lakhan Jirena sambhave aprakita gun. My dear sir, according to your bodily features and your behavior, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such behavior and features are impossible for ordinary living beings, for they cannot possess such transcendental qualities. Report. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bodily features were uncommon. Indeed, his body was extraordinary in its measurement. The measurement of his chest as well as the measurement of his forearms were the same length. This is called Nyagrodha Parimandala. As far as his nature is concerned, he was kind to everyone. No one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be kind to everyone. Therefore, the Lord's name is Krishna, all attractive. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 14.4, Krishna is kind to everyone. In every species of life, Sarva Yomi Shu, he is the original father, the seed giver, Bija Pranapita. How then can he be unkind to any living entity? One may be a man, an animal, or even a tree, but the Lord is kind to everyone. This is God's qualification. He also says in Bhagavad Gita 9.29, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. The Lord is equally kind to everyone. And he advises, Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam saranam braja. This instruction is meant not only for Arjuna but for all living entities. Whoever takes advantage of this offer is immediately immune to all sinful activity and returns home back to Godhead. While present on this planet, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the same offer. Prabhu, Prabhu, Mahaprabhu ki Gauranga. So Ramananda Bhai here is glorifying Lord Chaitanya. He's saying, simply by seeing you, all of my associates' hearts have melted. Their hairs are standing on end, their bodies are in ecstasy, tears are pouring from their eyes. They are in complete ecstasy. Hare Krishna. It's like when we see Amiya Vilas Maharaj puts everyone in ecstasy by his charming smile, his soft dealings. So the devotees, they're able to melt the hearts. What to speak of Krishna himself, he melts everyone. So Ramananda Rai is telling Lord Chaitanya, because you've got everyone to chant Hare Krishna, because of your extraordinary bodily features and your behavior, where you're kind to everyone, you must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This interesting point. Now in this material world, we know that the Grihamedi consciousness is always to be envious of others. Whatever I have, I want more, and whatever anybody else has, I want that too. And if anybody has more than me, then I envy them. So this enviousness is all pervasive. So therefore, people cannot treat everyone equally. Because they like someone who they see as their friend, and they don't like someone who they see as their enemy. This friends and enemy is all pervasive in the material world. In 29 or 30 days, there'll be elections here. So probably the different political parties will naturally be seeking friends and to defeat enemies. And politics is such a dirty business that even those who are enemies, sometimes they join together in a coalition government in some places just to get the power, they become friends. And they make someone else the enemy. So this friends and enemy business is very volatile in the material world. Someone who is your friend, next minute he becomes enemy because of body consciousness. In Bosnia, for so many years, the Serbs, Croats, and Muslims were all living together as friends. Then suddenly, this consciousness came that each should have their own, should have Bosnia for their own, and suddenly they all began fighting with each other. Some people were married, inter-caste marriage, inter-race marriage, and because of that they were killed because they were considered as turncoats. So much, the whole thing turned very ugly overnight. Next door neighbors who were friends were killing each other. For some people they didn't go into that. They tried to save and give shelter to some friends, but if they were caught, then they would also be punished. Now that war is over, now again I just heard that again, gradually the people are coming back and moving into their own, into each other's sections again. And it's not natural actually for the soul to have all this hatred and envy. But the nature of material world and Kali Yuga, especially to just create this type of conflict, For the Lord, His nature is to be equal to everyone. No matter what race, no matter what color, no matter what way they're worshiping Him, He, according to their faith and devotion, He reciprocates equally with everyone. He is a well-wisher for everyone. Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate. So seeing these qualities of Lord Chaitanya, the Ramananda Rai is saying that you are equal to everyone. Therefore you must be the Supreme Lord, and you have all these transcendental qualities that nobody, no ordinary person can have. Prabhupada, he raises the point. Okay, how to apply this into, how do we take advantage of the fact that Lord is equal to everyone? Best way is we should take shelter of the Lord. Normally everybody is looking for a friend in this world, right? Everybody is looking for someone as a friend, as a protector. But nobody is a better friend than the Lord. He's our best friend. He's our best protector. So we realize that, then we take shelter of the Lord. Anyone who's not taking shelter of Krishna, they're very foolish. If you take shelter of anybody else, I preach in Tamil areas, and in Sri Lanka once some Tamil people told me that, why you always speak from Bhagavad Purana, you should speak from the Skanda Purana or from the Shiva Purana. So then I did a search in folio, all the quotes from Skanda and Shiva Purana. And in the Skanda Purana, Lord Morgan, he tells very clearly that if somebody takes shelter of another deva, leaving the shelter of Vishnu, if someone, like someone leaving their own mother and taking shelter of a witch. Now that was such a heavy quote, I could never use it. I couldn't dare use it, you know. I was, it's like preaching in Ganesh temples and Morgan, if I say that, even though I was sent by Morgan, I didn't have the courage maybe to say that, they won't digest it, you know. But such a strong statement is made, even not in the Bhagavad Purana, but even in the Skanda Purana. Because even the devas are working on the false ego platform. They also think they're the body. Look at Indra. One time he was being worshipped by Nanda Maharaj, and because he just stopped and worshipped instead Govardhan, he was going to be killed. Krishna doesn't take such kind of steps. He just leaves you to your karma. But Indra, he was so much envious against Nanda Maharaj, why you are not worshipping me. Later on, of course, he realized his error and he went to Lord Krishna and begged for forgiveness. At that time, the Surabhi cow came. Mayapur was there. So what to speak of the devas, even if they get angry, sometimes you see that there's a parent, they're treating their children nice. Some parents don't treat their children nice, but usually they treat their children nice. But then sometimes the child wants to become a devotee of Krishna and the parent doesn't agree. They pay for deprogrammers to take them, kidnap them, and torture them, or they mistreat them. And there's a saying by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarathakura, I forget the whole Sanskrit. It's that whenever you eat hari thaki, it's always good for your digestion. It never harms you. But even your mother's affection may sometimes harm you. I forget the Sanskrit for that. Remember the Sanskrit? There's one herb called Haritaki. It's one of the tree phalas. You take that, it's always good for digestion. Lord Chaitanya's servant, Govinda Das, is giving him Haritaki when he had an upset stomach, and that cured his. Sometimes it happens, you eat too much prasad, your stomach gets overloaded, and you have digestive problems. Probably that never happens to you, you're all highly controlled yogis, but sometimes those who are serving prasad, they have no mercy. They think that we can eat more than what is possible. But sometimes the cooks, they have too much mercy and they cook so much opulent things that the tongue eats more than what the stomach could handle. But if you take Haritaki, it never hurts. It's always good. But like this, sometimes, because even parents in the material world, they are body conscious and they don't always know about Krishna consciousness, or they may not understand what is right because they are also limited. Even though their intention may be good, sometimes they can make mistakes. So like that, we have seen so many times how just yesterday in Singapore, there was one devotee from Bombay. He was going to Chopati Temple for 5 years. But someone told his mother things against ISKCON. She's always obstructing him. He wants to marry a devotee girl sometime in the future. Doesn't know who, but his mother's against. He said, no, devotees, they'll just go to the temple and chant, they won't do any housework. She has all crazy ideas, you know. So to protect her son, she's got the wrong idea, I think. So like this, he's facing so much trouble because he's attached to his mother, but she's always obstructing him to be Krishna, from being Krishna conscious. So sometimes this you take shelter of someone, even they may be well intentioned, but they will be against us, against our actual interest. Or in some cases, the people are very egoistic, like Hiranyakashipu. He wanted to kill his own son because his son didn't accept him as God. Now, if you were told, Hiranyakashipu, like this Ramana Rai is telling Lord Chaitanya, you're God. If you were told, Hiranyakashipu, you're the greatest, you're so powerful, you must be God. He would say, ha-ha! You figured it out. Thank you very much. You're a good boy. But what does Lord Chaitanya do when he's being told so many praises? Now he replies in the next verse, Prabhu Kohe, that means the Lord speaks to Ramananda Rai, Tumi Mahabhagavato Sama, Tumar Darsane Savar Dravahilo Mona. The Lord replied to Ramananda Rai, Sir, you are the best of the topmost devotees. Therefore, upon seeing you, everyone's heart melted. He said, no, it's not because of me. You are the best of the topmost devotees. By seeing you, everybody's heart is melted. Mahabhagavat means topmost devotee. Someone who's completely sold out to serving Krishna is called Mahabhagavat. Amongst Mahabhagavats, there are some who have already developed love of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is calling him Mahabhagavat Ottama, topmost of the Mahabhagavat. Purport. Srila Prabhupada. Unless one is a first class devotee, he cannot be a preacher. A preacher is generally a topmost devotee. But in order to meet the general populace, he has to come to distinguish between devotees and non-devotees. Otherwise, an advanced devotee makes no distinction. Indeed, he always sees everyone engaged in the service of the Lord. When one engages in preaching work, he must distinguish between people and understand that some people are not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. The preacher then has to take compassion upon such innocent people who do not know how to worship the Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.45, the symptoms of the topmost devotees are described as follows. Sarva bhuteshu yapasyet bhagavat bhavam atmanaha bhutani bhagavat atmani esa bhagavatottama. The advanced devotee sees that all living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is in Krishna and Krishna is also within everyone. Such a vision is possible only for a person who is very advanced in devotional service. Onya ki katha ami maya bhadi sannasi ami ho tumar sparse Krishna preme avasi. Although I am a mayavadi sannyasi, a non-devotee, I am also floating in the ocean of love of Krishna simply by touching you. And what to speak of others? So Lord Chaitanya presents himself as more fallen than everyone else. It's a lowly mayavadi sannyasi, hard and dry and no love. He said, when I touched you, I felt my this floating in love of loving ecstasy, love of Krishna. So what to speak of everybody else? Naturally, they'll all be in ecstasy by seeing you. Ejani kotin mor hidoy so vite sarvabhauma kohilena tumare milite. Knowing this, in order to rectify my heart, which is very hard, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked me to meet you. Eimato duhe stuti kore duhar gun duhe duhar darasane anandito mon. In this way, each of them praised the qualities of the other, and both of them were pleased to see each other, or to see one another. So, Lord Chaitanya, he responded, and instead of accepting the praise, he turned around and praised Ramananda Rai. It's all your glory, your good qualities that have made everyone ecstatic. Because you are Mahabhagavat Ottama, you are topmost pure devotee. You see. Just like when Dina Bandhu talks about, Prabhu talks about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, everybody feels ecstatic. of the devotees. They get great joy in glorifying the other devotees. They don't get the happiness from being praised. Rather, when you get praised or worshipped, you feel more like there's some embarrassment or some uncomfortableness or some kind of weight, responsibility. But when you glorify others, you feel very happy and peace and blissful. So, here we can see something about the Vaishnava etiquette, how the dealings between the Lord and His devotees and between the devotees. Our Lord is acting as a devotee, so He is also showing us He is the topmost devotee. Right? Sometimes you may get some prize, you may get some award, you may win the marathon, you may achieve some good devotional service, and the tendency is for the mind to become proud, to think, yeah, this is because I'm great, or because I did this, or somehow you feel a happiness due to pride, that I'm the doer. But actually, we should always consider that we are the nimitta-matrena instrument. And if we do anything properly, it's because Krishna has directed us, it's because the Guru's mercy is there, Vaishnava's mercy. This morning I was trying to glorify Mrs. Ranchor for her service. And she said, I can't do anything, it's only by the mercy of Vaishnava, somehow I'm able to do some service even though I'm sick and weak. So like this, you see, naturally the devotees are having these qualities, they don't like to accept any praise. But everybody is so busy appreciating everybody else's good qualities and not accepting any credit for oneself, but just taking everything as the Guru's mercy, Krishna's mercy, then you have a Vaikuntha on earth, right? It's as soon as somebody starts to feel nobody appreciates me, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, nobody... As soon as we are in the receiving mode, then immediately we get frustrated. And if we're so busy in the giving mode, actually, automatically, when you're giving, it's like you can't give unless you got it. So by giving, Krishna automatically provides whatever you need to give. When you're trying to serve Krishna, you're trying to give for Krishna. You're trying to encourage devotees for Krishna. Where does that energy come from? It comes from Krishna. Because you're acting as an instrument, helping Krishna, that Krishna wants to see all His devotees enlivened and encouraged. So everybody can do that. Sometimes you get in a situation where when you're defending the temple or defending ISKCON, then you see some attacking element as the enemy. So this is a very difficult situation. One cannot then act 10% on this platform if nobody is an enemy, because you are seeing someone as attacking Krishna or Krishna's movement. So like that, to come on the preaching platform, then you have to come down from that and you see all the devotees, you see your friends, you see all the fallen people, innocent. But then if you see somebody is acting like a demon, either they're a demon or they're acting like a demon and they're attacking ISKCON, they're attacking the other devotees, then naturally you make attack. You get involved in this being a friend and enemy. Or at least you avoid them, you avoid such people. So, Madhyamarikari, your preacher, even if they're topmost devotee, they come down in this platform where they're seeing the Supreme Lord and Guru, the devotees, innocent, and the demoniac element. They just smash or keep away from the demoniac element, be merciful to the innocent, be friends with the devotees, and worship the Supreme Lord and His representatives. So this discrimination is there on the Madhyamarikari platform or preacher platform. Otherwise, how you can preach the Uttamarika? They see everybody's devotee, no matter who they are. They see everyone on that level. Some devotees, they're not preaching, but they're just practicing and they're on that level, so then for them they see everyone in a more advanced position. They see themselves as the most fallen. They're not able to preach, but they're so pure that just by seeing them you get purified. Just by their practice of devotional service, it's purified. So this meeting of Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya is very special. It's like in Vrindavan. One time we heard how Prabhupada was talking about the meeting of Swarup, Sanatana Goswami, and Lord Chaitanya in Banaras. He was giving the class in Chaitanya Charitamrita at that meeting in Gorakhpur. He was visiting the ashram of Hanuman Poddar, Hanuman Prasad Poddar. Then he was, as he was describing, and he was saying, actually the ecstasy they were feeling in coming together, Lord Chaitanya embraced the Sanatana Goswami, I'm very unclean, I'm unfallen. But then being embraced by Lord Chaitanya, he is also crying in ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya was crying. The Prabhupada was saying this ecstasy they are feeling is not different than the ecstasy that the gopis feel when they are united with Krishna after great separation. And then when Prabhupada was saying that, he started to cry himself. And he choked up. And he couldn't speak. So then, everybody was sitting there, and there was like a pin drop silence, and Prabhupada was stunned, and he was just crying. And finally Prabhupada said, "Chant Hare Krishna," and he choked voice, and everybody chanted. So, you can see also here, Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya, when they're meeting together, they're also floating in this ocean of ecstasy. Who is Ramananda Rai? He's Visakha, Krishna Lila. Is it combined, Visakha and Arjuna? So for coming down and for preaching and for helping Lord Chaitanya, these eternal associates from the spiritual world, they came down. Playing different roles. Even Radharani came as who? Who did Radharani come in? Who can say? Radha, yes. None of the devotees do not know. You're just being humble. He was traveling and preaching in Bengal with his disciple, Nandana. Was his nephew actually. His disciple was his nephew, son of Vijayabhanina. And they went to one village where the whole village came out and said, they all surrendered to Gadadhar Prabhu and said, We like your preaching so much, we accept, we surrender to you, we become your disciples, you guide us. We want to all be Krishna conscious, we don't want anything else, we are your surrendered souls, now tell us what to do. What would you do if the whole village here in Mauritius, they all surrendered? Came with their televisions in hand and said, here, we offer these to you, we don't want any more. We want to install deities in our house instead of television. No more Maya, we just want Krishna. Tell us what to do. Then, so Gadadhar Prabhu, then he told his disciples that, so you stay here and you train them. The disciple has to help the guru to train people. Whatever the disciple learns from the guru, then he has to also teach others. Sometimes disciples wonder, how can I serve my guru? But every disciple can serve the guru by learning. First service is to learn everything you can from the guru. You need to learn Krishna consciousness from the spiritual master and the other senior devotees. The Shastra, Sadhu Shastra Guru, you need to get a special deep realization. I was present one time in Montreal and Srila Prabhupada said, what is it you have to get from your Guru? What is it you get from him? Anyone here knows? No, they didn't know there either. What do you think? How many of you are initiated? How many initiated devotees? Raise your hand. How many are aspiring to be initiated? What do you have to get? You all want guru or have guru? So what do you have to get from the guru?
Krishna.
You get Krishna.
Instruction.
You get instruction. Mercy. Any other ideas? Please. Everybody said so many things. Prabhupada surprised everybody with his answer. He said, you have to get his vibration. something very subtle, right? To get his vibration, his transcendental vibration, what? And even though he said it, it was like left everybody thinking, you know. What is the vibration? That specific quality that the guru has that makes him Krishna conscious. The mood, the enthusiasm, the whatever those qualities. The Prabhupada uses the word vibration, I guess. I don't want to limit it. It's a pretty vast word. There's something that the disciples get from the guru that's more than what meets the eye. It's not just the instructions, it's not just the Prabhupada. Everyone said all those things, the knowledge. They said you have to get the vibration. You can see like some devotees, Prabhupada disciples, they really just taken up Prabhupada's mood. They just have got some of Prabhupada's vibration and they're just going. They're always eager to get their association. You see some devotee grand disciples, they also have picked up that devotional spirit, ready selflessly serving and somehow, that mercy is handed down by the Guru Parampara. We need to get it. So this disciple of Gadadhar Prabhu, he got the mercy from Gadadhar Prabhu and he was told, now you give it to all these people. But then he said, but I want to be with you, Gurudev. I don't want to stay here. I want to be with you. I want to go on serving you. He said, no, but these people have surrendered. We have to take care of them. They need help, so we have to take, and I had to go to serve Lord Chaitanya, so you should stay here and help them. But how can I live without you, Gurudev? It wasn't planned. He was feeling so much separation, and Gadadhar said, all right, I have my personal deities. He had personal deities he wore around his neck. They're called Kyo Krishna. They look almost like Chota Gopinath, small in one stone. Krishna, Radha, and Lalita. I give you my personal deity, it's dear to me, it's not different from me, it's dear to me, it's my very soul. So you have this deity. And then he said, well, what will I teach them? I don't have any books, I don't have, what will I teach them? He said, alright, well here I have my personal copy of Bhagavad Gita that I wrote with my own hand and it's been written on by Lord Chaitanya. On the first page, Lord Chaitanya wrote a verse. When he was the Vaipundit. I keep this as my most cherished object, but if you preach to these people, I'll be so pleased with you. If you give them Krishna consciousness, they've surrendered. So I'm giving you my most dear object. Only I have to personally serve Lord Chaitanya, otherwise I would stay myself. So then the disciple, he remained there. He installed the Kyo Krishna deity in the temple and he had each house of every temple make a big altar. And on their altar in the center they had it, it was an empty seat. Then they had their own house deities, but in the main, like this, if there were three altars or two altars, in the main part it was empty on rotation. Every day the deity would be brought by procession to a different grihastha's home, the small Utsav deity. And would go there in the temple of their house, and that day the husband would take off from whatever work he had to do, and he and the wife, the whole family would all in the morning just cook the lunch boga for the needy. Raj boga, the whole family would cook. That day they won't do anything else. The whole day, the whole morning is dedicated to receiving the Lord in the house. The Lord would come, they'd worship, they'd do arati, offer boga. Then afterwards, after the Raj boga and arati, I think even the Devi was, I don't know if he took rest or not, still doing it. It's 3-4 kilometers south of Katwa. Train, they got a block, I'm trying to remember the name, Ananda, I can look it up. When you go from Srinivas, you go from this one Sonarandi, where the deities Udharandatta Thakur are still kept. You go from there straight to Katwa, then it's 3 kilometers just before Katwa. It was in the Bhaktigarden. There was a temple that Kirunath repaired for the BSTT. Bhaktigarden. I went there and I saw the houses and how they're doing it. And they're still doing it. So, from that past time I learned so many things. First of all, sometimes we don't know that Gadadhar Prabhu also preached. Even Radharani, when he came in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, he was preaching. She was preaching when she was... Everybody was doing so much preaching then. Then how they got everyone, you know, all these Grihastha, everyone was Grihastha, mostly everyone in the whole material world is Grihastha. They got everyone to be Grihastha, but they were Krishna-centered. They're all centered in worshipping the deity. When we install a deity here, this deity becomes the center for the community. It should actually be a center for everybody in the island. Deities are archa-avatars. So the whole community should also come together and help in serving the deity. Here, this is in the northern version. This is north version.
This is
east. What's Phoenix? They're responsible from here for the north, and Phoenix is for the south, that's how it works. But actually they're both kind of parallel. Just one is east and one is central, and so Phoenix is slightly southern. This one, still that's responsible for north. Why should I listen to somebody from England? I can listen. You feel at home here, being an island person. So, it's also a big responsibility. Prabhupada said, when you bring a deity, there's so much enthusiasm. But that enthusiasm should continue. He said on that we bring a deity and there's utsaha, which means enthusiasm. But then later, sometimes the devotees get into nigraha, which means neglect. And then they said, if the disciple thinks, oh, my Gurudev has given me all this service for the deities, it's such a burden, and then everything is lost. If you take the service to the deity to be a burden, I gotta get up, I gotta do the puja today, you know that. Then there's no love. So all the enthusiasm that devotees have, actually, deities are installed from the time when someone goes to choose, decides in the mind that I want to worship this deity. Then they choose the stone in the quarry to have it made by some karikar, some, you know, craftspeople. And then they carve the deity. And it's a bimba, it's reflection of the deity to come. Right now the deities are the reflection. And now starting today, the final ceremonies which bring the deity to be present in this statues is completed. And by the time Purnima comes, it will be the full Pran Pratishtha. But this is like a gradual process. Actually, the devotee's desire is what brings the Lord. Even Krishna says in Gita, right? Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chuduskita. I come to please my devotees, protect the devotees. So, this theme is very important. All the devotees should be eagerly praying and desiring in their heart that Lord Krishna and Balaram will come and be present and accept the worship of the devotees. Why we want the Lord to come? So we can serve the Lord. If we serve the Lord, we get the greatest benediction. Serving Him is the greatest benediction. In the spiritual world, everybody is eager to serve the Lord. Here the Lord is coming and He's in His archavatar form and He's giving us an opportunity to serve Him. So we're going to invite the Lord to come. It's to beg Him that please come and let us serve you. Right? We want to bathe you, we want to dress you, we want to worship you, we want to sing and dance before you, we want to bring devotees to surrender to you. The focus is that we want the Lord to come so we can serve. So if we bring the Lord, then later we shouldn't. We're all praying, Lord, please come, and we should maintain that attitude always of serving. And that is what is transcendental. They have such a wonderful service attitude in Srinathji Temple, Nathdwara. It's very impressive. I was there and some guys coming with it was a baby buffalo or bullock or something with a bunch of firewood piled on top, and then, you know, she had to run it out of the way, and then he had it tied such a way he just pulls the rope and all the firewood falls on the side, and he just yells one word, Seva! Opportunity for doing some voluntary service. And people came running there. Everyone grabs a piece of wood, puts it on their head, and they go to carry it inside to bring it into the kitchen where they have all the big... So I grabbed a piece of wood too, you know, okay, you get a chance to serve. And also get to see the kitchen. And wasn't completely selfish. I was able to see what their kitchen was like. I heard so much about it. Later they gave me a tour anyway. But then they went in and there in a pile, and they have a marketplace there, all vegetables and fruits. But people are not buying to take it home. They're buying the vegetables and fruits to donate to the deity. There's so many people come there to give things to thee that a little market comes every day. And they're arguing, no, you know, if you wait a little bit, you know, the people are eager to buy, give to the deity and go. So they charge more money, the vendor. If you're a little bit time on your hand, you wait at the end and they sell for half price. You can buy and give to the baby. Flowers, one whole tree of roses and things, you know, they start off, you know, 20 rupees and end you get for 5 or something. But, so there that mood, everyone is trying to do seva. So that actually is the spirit, which was deities need to be worshipped. Everybody should get facilitated to do service. To do, bring offerings, fruits, flowers, milk, garlands, cook, to bathe. I know that Sri Niketan Prabhu is concerned how the worship will go on. He once told me if I can arrange some pujari from India. It's kind of a shame, and there's hundreds of initiated devotees and Mauritius, and he has to worry about how to get someone to serve the deity. Should rather be so many people queued up, signing up, that oh, every week I want to give 1 day, I want to give 2 days, I want to give, you know, at least 1 day a week I'll definitely do service. Should be, you know, probably have to get on a waiting list and wait for a few months even to get a chance. There should be so many people eagerly coming forward to serve the deity. See, what does it say when it says that Vaishnava goes to Grihastha, but usually in Lokasya, I have to take care of my children, I have to take care of my cleaning my toilet and cleaning my house and paying the. Okay, those things are routine. Those also can be done as Krishna service, but the proof that it's really Krishna service is because we're also eager to bring our children to the temple that they can see the deities. We're eager to arrange things that we can. Husband will do 1 day the service, the wife can serve the deity, the wife will do 1 day, husband can do. Somehow we organize that we can all do some service for the deity. We can get, how about a blessing, especially if someone gets second initiation, they can touch the deity, they can bathe the deity, they can dress, they can, that's the whole advantage of being second initiated. Is to be able to serve a deity or to perform the yajnas for the deity. To expound on the shastras for the deity, perform abhishekas and things like that. So this is a great opportunity, you see, for more devotees to get more opportunity to serve, because we already have one Radha and Krishna. I was surprised that even they don't do Julan Yatra. I was going to tell Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj, at least they should do Juban while he's here. He's a Vrajavasi, you know, Bandhu Prabhu's here. How can they have Radha Krishna and no Juban? You know, it's like unheard of. I've never heard of such a thing. I was just reading in this morning, Rasti Kananda, he was performing Julan Yatra. So, there's so much opportunity we can do for expanding the service. The more that we get enthusiastic to serve the deities, to preach Krishna consciousness, to glorify the Vaishnavas, then the whole existence becomes transformed. Actually, we're only here to do service. Sometimes the service may be menial service, or sometimes it may be, you'll see, you know, installing deity means a lot of menial service, a lot of cleaning, a lot of making, playing with mud and making yagi, you know, it's a lot of preparation, it's routine. You know, then there's also the pujas and other things. So whatever the service we want to do, we want to serve. And if somebody has got a particular propensity, they can dovetail that. Someone has to do the publicity, someone has to invite the VIPs, someone has to chaperone the VIPs, someone has to cook for all the people coming, someone has to organize all the volunteers and so that everyone comes received with a smile and welcomed, and there's so many different things. To get so that everybody is engaged. So this idea of how everybody is bringing the deity, everybody is, it's not just all the priests and the gurus or the senior devotees they're doing, but everyone is bringing the deity, because deity is coming because of your all desire. And with that enthusiasm and that desire to serve the deity, then everyone, once the deity comes, they'll also like to continue on serving, increasing their best service is to increase the number of devotees. We're Goshti Anand. People are suffering in the material world. They're just, they don't even know. Even if they're Hindus, most people don't know they're not the body. They just pray and that they can have a nice, peaceful bodily existence and repetition of birth and death and go to heaven or something. They don't understand what is the Atma very clearly. And so like this, in spite of having the greatest opportunity to be Krishna conscious, they are not taking advantage of their valuable human form of life. So the Grihastha devotees who worship the deity, who serve Krishna, who bring their children up to be Krishna conscious, they are very special. They're Bhagavatas. They're devotees of the Lord. And those type of devotees were people. Ramananda Rai was a Grihastha. Externally, that's what role he was playing, but internally he was a liberated soul. So we like all the Grihasthas also to be liberated souls. They're performing their Grihastha duties responsibly, but their focus is always how to please Krishna and how to expand Krishna consciousness. In this way, even though whether it was Grihe Thako, Bone Thako, Sada Hare Bole Thako, everybody is sharing Hare Krishna, and they're all on the transcendental platform. So Srila Prabhupada said that Mauritius should be a Krishna conscious country. So now that Krishna and Balaram are coming, this is the first temple built as a complete temple, I mean, like Vedic temple in Mauritius, right? I mean, Phoenix is talking about building a new temple, a big, you know, special temple in the future. So here for so many years, they've been slowly but surely working on this, and now it's come to this fructification. Although it looks like they got a few things yet to finish, but they tried really hard. Great efforts. But this is just the beginning. Building a temple, after it's built and the deity is installed, this is just the beginning now. And this month is especially auspicious. Sravana is good for beginning things. So this is the beginning. After this, the real work begins. Using the temple and worshipping the deity and a few things they have to finish off, final touches, but more or less it's finished. But the real work begins. This should be an attraction for the whole country. All the tourists should come here. All the locals should come here. It should be on the bus tour, you have to, when you visit Mauritius, you have to come here, Krishna Balaram Temple. In Tirupati, when you go on the tour of Tirupati, they stop at Hare Krishna Temple also. And we don't have a Tirupati so much. Now we're building a big temple, but we had a small temple, still it was on the tour, to get everybody to Sadam. So if there's any kind of a tour, Mauritius for people, This should be on it. All the schools should come and visit here. Center of Cultural Exchange, Cultural Preservation. So this is all possible if the devotees take it up very enthusiastically and get the... To do that, we need the mercy of Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya. We need to appreciate all the good qualities and all the other devotees. Mananena, Manadena, offer respect to everyone. Don't expect any respect for ourselves. Always Kirtaniya Sadahari, always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Om Tat Sat. Any questions or comments? Which is where Udupi is situated. Most of the people are Madhwas, and since they're the presiding deity there, so I thought it was appropriate to have Krishna and Balaram. We had a double installation. We had an installation by the Hejawar Swami, their life, and then we did a Vrindavan installation. One of the people to relate with Krishna and Balaram. Probably best to ask Sri Nigita and Arjuna their ideas why they want Sri Krishna and Balaram. We know that they are the avatars. Mentioned the Das Avatar Sotra, they both came together. Krishna and his Swayam Prakash. Very accessible. Cowherd boys that associating so intimately with the cowherd boys. I think Dinabandhu Prabhu can tell us so many pastimes about Krishna and Balaram. Prabhupada personally installed Krishna Balaram. Also because Krishna and Balaram came in Kali Yuga as born the time. We have born the time, Krishna Balaram. And then of course the goal is the Radhi Sham, worshipping Radha and Krishna. Krishna Balaram, very important deity. Also, Jagannath, Krishna Balaram are there present. Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Krishna Balaram are very merciful. It's also important that Krishna Prabhupada said how Krishna and Balaram are, Krishna is for Goraksha and Balaram is for Krishi. Krishi Goraksha. It's also in another simple comment that Prabhupada said. Some of you do a research all the time. Prabhupada talks about Krishna Balaram. Remember, he said that once that Balaram has the hala, haladar. Hala means plow. Who's holding the plow? And then Krishna is holding what? Butter churner. Udupi, he holds the butter churner. Many places, sometimes he holds the butter churner. And the butter, milk, yogurt, ghee, where does that come from? You have cows here? It's also a place where you have cows in the farm, in the country. It's also good to have Krishna Balaram. Many things I don't want to. It's a very important deity. I was wondering during the class, I was just thinking, reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, whether there will be Krishna Nityagaur also on the altar. Bandhu Prabhu. Brother. Krishna Kanaya. Sauji Kabaya. Krishna Kanaya. Sauji Kabaya. Krishna Kanaya. So now you're going to have Sauji here.
Well, see, Sauji.